Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuning in to the newest edition of the Punchless MMA Podcast. As always, I am Dale Lippin, joined by Trey Van Buskirk and his soon-to-be replacement, Haley Cowan. How are you, Haley?
I didn't know about that. I found out about it, too.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi, how are you? How's everything been?
I'm good. It's kind of cold outside, and I don't love that, but I'm good.
Yeah. It's cold here, too. We've got a cold front that's moved through. South Carolina. It's been a little bit colder here, but Trey lives in balmy Southern California. How's everything over there, Trey Van Buskirk?
It's good, but I'm not as on fire as Haley's been coming off that massive win. So I'm feeling a little bit cold. I want to hear about the heat that is the Cowan, dude, going into the freaking stratosphere of UFC. Let's go.
Trey signed you to the UFC. I don't know you.
I already signed you.
So what was it? Invicta 46, right?
Yeah, that sounds 46? Right.
Yeah, Invicta 46.
It's probably 46.
Okay. Two weeks ago, we took on Monica Franco after a little bit of a layoff. And let's just sort of unpack it because it was a long time coming. You and us, we've been talking about this since your last fight, when we were going to get to see you again.
Yeah.
Finally happened. It came. It went. You walked away with the W, but... You know, how did the week go?
The fight week was so fun. So they actually didn't bring us out there until like the day before we weighed in, which was nice because we didn't have to quarantine. So we got to go in there. Literally, we landed and I started cutting weight. So I only had to cut like 5 pounds, which was nice.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it had been so long that like I was just really grateful to be there. And so I was excited. I wasn't nervous. I was very grateful for the opportunity, and I knew that I'd prepared better than anyone on the card because I've been preparing for a fight for, almost 2 years? Like,
it's been a while.
It had been a long time coming, yeah. So I'd basically been in camp for, like, 17 months. So I was like, if I'm not ready now, I'm never going to be ready. So I was just ready, and I was excited. You know,
I wanted to ask you about that, Haley. So this is going to sound uber casual. We're going to go on a casual road here for a quick second. But okay. I remember when CM Punk came into the UFC and he didn't really understand which weight class he wanted to be in. So he's like, I'm going to do some test cuts. We're going to see how it is. You had an extensive layoff. Were you doing any like, you know, trial cuts to make sure you could get down the weight? I know you said it was only 5 pounds, but were you a little bit skittish going in?
No, you know, I actually fought at 25 before at 125 and I had one really bad weight cut. And I always knew I was really big for that division. And I was like, as soon as I have a rough cut, I'm moving down. And so that's what I did. But for this one, it was easier than my other cuts to 35 just because I'd been in camp for so long. So I came in to this 8-week camp. I came in already really light. So I was like, you know, I came into camp at like 143. So I had like 7 pounds to go from the day that I started camp. And so I was able to kind of eat, not really what I wanted, but I mean, I could eat as many meals a day as I wanted to. I didn't really do much of a water cut. You know, I didn't really have to do any of that. I didn't have to cut out sodium ever. it just made it a lot easier. So I'm like, now I'm like, it's always fun getting in the cage and being the big, you know, being the bigger fighter, but it's also fun not having to cut weight. So I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll walk around at 143, 144 and just not have to cut much weight and feel really good all week. So I think that's what I'm going to do from here on out, because it seemed to work out.
I watched the fight live, and the Invicta experience is a little bit different because they have a live chat that runs during the event.
Oh goodness, I haven't seen that.
Oh yeah, so it's super fun.
I won't look at it.
You shouldn't look at it. But what it's funny that Trey asked you about the weight, because the, like, as soon as you walk out, right, and you're at the two things that are people are saying is, oh my goodness, look at her arms, and then.
Yeah, my mom asked me, she's like, what are python arms? I was like, I would guess that would mean big arms.
Yeah, tell your mom to stay out of the chat.
Dude, I always do. She can't help it.
Yeah. And the other one was, people were like, I wonder if she could make 25. And I'm sitting there in my head going, we're not doing that anymore.
I don't think they realize like how tall I am too. I'm not a short 35er. I'm almost 5'9" and I don't know. There's a lot of muscle mass to me. I don't walk around fat or anything like that, so I don't have as much to cut as most of these girls. And I don't know how I made 25 10 times. I don't know how I did it. Like, I have no idea.
Right.
But whatever. That's the past.
So we get there. It's fight week. We feel good. We don't have to quarantine. We're walking out.
Yeah.
What's the Invicta experience like? And then sort of walk us through the fight, because the first round was just kind of like, it almost feel like you had like some nervous energy to you a little bit.
I had none. It was
really
so not an ounce. It was weird. Like, okay. Jake was like, you know, you're competing in like 5 minutes, right? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just happy to be here. Like, so I was making him nervous, but yeah. Okay. So this was weird. So they kept telling me over and over. They made sure that I knew this was not the normal Invicta experience. So we fought at Fight Church, which is really cool because I'm a preacher's kid, which I might have saw my dad earlier on. I don't know. Did you tell him what I did?
No. So real quick, not to derail your story. So I sent Haley the guest link and didn't clarify that it was the guest link. So then she sent it to her dad. Shout out Papa Cowan. So he hopped in. Yeah, he hopped in, and then he was like, he thought he was under the impression that he had somehow joined the show. Is that what happened? Okay, yeah, fair enough. So,
Dale, did you introduce yourself like a gentleman?
I wasn't in here at that exact moment, but God, I wish I was.
I wish he'd somehow gotten on so bad; it would have been so funny.
Well, tell him to hop on.
I can imagine
out.
Him being like this, like trying to. But yeah, so we fought at Fight Church. So we warmed up in the hotel lobby. Fight Church was like a block away from the hotel. We got our hands wrapped, commission signed off on everything, and we warmed up in the hotel lobby. And then they individually took us in a van to Fight Church, and we did not see the cage, see the venue, or anything until we stepped in to fight.
Well, that's kind of unique. That's...
It was weird. So I'm like getting in. I don't know if y'all noticed, but I started counting my feet because I was trying to figure out how big the cage was, because I love to use my space. Like, I don't need a lot. I actually like a smaller cage, but I like to know how much space. And I was just seeing, I was like, is this the same size as ours at the gym? Because I feel like it's a little bit bigger. So I'm like walking the cage off to see how many feet.
Yeah.
You know how big it is, because I utilize the cage a lot. And yeah, it was wild. And so I was glad. Usually I'm like, oh, I don't want to be blue corner. I don't like standing in there. But I was like, I'm so glad I'm blue corner. I have time to get in there and like see how big the cage is, kind of feel everything. Because we didn't get to do that before. So
sure. So you're standing there. Monica walks out. You're across from her. Mm-hmm. What's going through your head? And then, you know, you go out and obviously we're in a fist fight. So when did it feel real again? Like, oh, thankfully I'm back. What's going on? I mean, I know you were prepared. But I mean, when did it get real again?
Okay, so I really liked Monica. Like, from the moment we both signed the contract, I was like, oh my God, I like this girl. We could be really good friends. And so I had this idea all camp long. I was like, all right. And I told everybody, I was like, I'm going to exhaust her in round one. I'm going to hang on her on the cage. I'm going to make her really tired. And I thought that I would probably finish her at the end of round one, but I wasn't sure. And then I was like, and then if it goes to round two, I'm going to take her down immediately. And then I'm going to ground and pound into submission. And I just had like I don't know if y'all watched my fight against a girl named Sarah Click. I cut her up real bad. Then I choked her. And I kept having these vibes that I was going to have a Sarah Click finish again. And she walks in the cage and I see her and she looks so happy. And I was like, man, I hope I don't cut her.
Oh my God.
I was like, I don't want to cut her, but I just knew I was going to. And then of course, in round two, the very first elbow I landed on the ground, split her open. And I was like, I don't know. Jake thought I was going to stop. Like I almost like panicked like you would cutting a teammate. Like I was like, oh, yeah. This is a fight. We have to keep going. Like,
yeah.
Like it was weird. But I knew like immediately, like I had a very solid game plan. Like I knew I was not taking any steps backwards. I was going to pressure her immediately because I watched a bunch of her fights and I saw that was very uncomfortable for her. It's pretty much uncomfortable for everyone moving backwards. It's not where you want to be. And sure. If you're not uncomfortable moving backwards, you probably should be uncomfortable moving backwards because it doesn't look good. And so I knew I was like, you know, we're going to move her backwards. And as soon as the ref said, are you ready? Are you ready? I was like, all right, it's go time. So sometimes you need an exchange or two, or you need to get clocked a couple times to realize, oh, this is a fight. But I was just so ready. You know, I've been like visualizing this moment like for the last 17 months, especially coming off a loss. I was just so ready for it. So I knew the whole time. Then I was the fight before this, I felt such a weird vibe. Like I didn't really feel like I was competing. It was just weird that I was super focused and I was just ready to fight. So
sure. When you choked her out though, I saw you guys embraced for a moment. Tell me what happened there. You talked to her. I always think it's funny when, you know, you get it done in a devastating fashion. Like, what do you say to someone in that moment? Like, hey, thanks for competing, but like, you know, I'm on the way up, you're out. What do you do?
So I've caught a lot of crap because I let go really soon of the choke. I let go really early. What people don't realize is I was not on her neck. I was over her jaw. Ooh. And before that, I landed a really hard straight left at the very beginning of the second round. I knew it hurt her. I knew I landed it on her jaw and I knew it hurt because after that she wasn't shutting her mouth. And so I was already aware of like potentially, you know, that I'd hurt her. And so on the ground, I'd landed a bunch of really hard elbows too. And when I got to her back, I had a really deep body lock and I was able to, you know, hip in and arch and her neck was popping like as I was cranking on her jaw. And so I was just, I liked her. I was very aware. If it had been under her chin, I wouldn't have stopped so early because you take a nap and you wake up and you go along with your life. If you really hurt someone's jaw or their neck, they're not the same for a while. And so I was very aware. And I know the integrity of her as a fighter. I wasn't worried about her contesting. And I was doing so well and I felt so in control that even if she did contest, I was having a lot more fun than she was having. So it was like, okay, cool. We'll just keep going. Like,
right.
But I knew where I was on her neck and I know the damage that can cause. I've had guys in the gym, you know, hurt my jaw being over my chin like that. And I just knew it wasn't like a regular choke. And she had actually already tapped even before I let go. You just couldn't really see it. We were in a really weird position against the cage. So
I'm glad you mentioned the tap because I wanted to ask you about that finishing sequence, because that, again, to go back to the whole live stream thing, that was there was a general consensus among people that were watching it that either A, they didn't see the tap, or B, you let go incredibly early. And then also the referee caught a little bit of flack too, because people thought the ref was out of position and he didn't really see it. And when you let go, he just kind of stood there like, I guess the fight's over. I he didn't confirm really that the finish had happened.
Well, he was a good ref. I really liked him. Like I talked to him before because, I do a lot of cage work and I've never been warned. I'm usually really busy on the cage. So I've never been warned, you know, get to work or we're going to separate you. But I always warned the refs, hey, this is what I do. Just so you know, we're going to be on the cage, but I'm going to work. And so I told him that he was really cool about everything. You know, Kansas has the 3-point rule, you know, they have the unified rules. So if they're touching the ground, I can eat them in the head. And I was super pumped about that because I didn't know that. And so he was really cool with my style of fighting, and a lot of people aren't. And so I really liked him, but he was standing in a weird spot, but there was really no, from the video, you couldn't tell. We were really close to the cage. There was really nowhere else. He couldn't have been he wasn't in a great spot, but he couldn't have been in a better spot either.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, I knew the integrity of, I know who she is. You know, I've seen her fight. I've talked to her. I know who she is as a person. And again, I knew she tapped and I knew it was hurting her. You know, she was making weird noises and I knew it was time to let go. If it had been someone else, I probably wouldn't have, but I really didn't not want to hurt her.
So you get the tap, you do the embrace, like Trey says, and then what's the feeling after that? I mean, was it relief? Was it elation? Was it, I need to do this again as soon as possible? Like, what's the sequence, the thought sequence after that? Because you were away for a long time and you got it just basically almost word for word how you predicted it to us. And then how did you feel afterwards?
The first thing I did was I cut her and I wanted to look at it. I want to see how bad it was because I didn't want her to have to get stitches. So I stopped and I kind of grabbed her face. I was like, okay, it's not that bad. Like, the head bleeds a lot, so it always looks a lot worse than it actually is. So that was the first thing that went through my head. And then the second thing was, is we knew, you know, I'm with Sucker Punch. That's my management. And I knew that I'm either one or two wins away from just like walking in to the UFC, you know,
right.
Hopefully like no contenders or whatever. And so like, that was my first thought. And I was like, okay, that fight, that card is on my birthday. I was like, I'm going to just make it. I knew I probably wasn't going to get on it. I knew it was 4 weeks before. It was already full, but I just wanted to make a big deal. Like, I mean, I knew people would share it and they would see it and they did.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to like make a little bit of noise and get them to remember me. Cause Mick Maynard signed my first LFA contract cause he was still with LFA then.
Okay.
So he knows who I am and, you know, I've had a couple opportunities, but I just haven't felt ready yet. And now I do. Like, now I know. I've gone out and I've trained with the best in the world this last 17 months. As crappy as it's been exactly what I need.
Right.
So,
Just had enough of you. Look what you did. It's all your fault.
Here?
Oh, and we're back.
Sorry about that. I don't know. I think my sister called me, but she can go away. She'll probably call again.
That's all right. Bring her in. Just bring her in. It doesn't matter. It's a family thing. Just bring them all in. It doesn't matter. Trey and I just do whatever we want anyway, right?
Yeah.
100%. So Haley, so you felt good. You feel like you're at the level, obviously, to get into the UFC. We're huge fans. We believe you can get in there. I want to bring it back a little bit, though. After that, you go back in the locker room, you change. Was there one food or drink on your mind that you're like, I haven't had this shit in 2 years, and now's my time?
Dude, no, I was so light coming in that I was able to kind of cheat, have these little meals here and there. So I didn't, like, I mean, like, I wanted pizza because that's like my thing. It's like what I'm supposed to have after I eat. I mean, after I fight. So I was like, yeah, pizza. But I came in so light and so prepared that I was kind of able, if I wanted to have a piece of pizza here and there, I could have it. So it wasn't, not like normal where I'm like, I have to have the pizza or I'm going to die. But
they're going to use that as a promo clip for all girls in your division. They're going to be like, I hate this girl. I hate her. She's the worst.
Hey, I've done my time at 25. Where I couldn't look at pizza for 3 months.
I admire the discipline. I find a way to treat myself no matter what. I'm like, oh, I drank a lot of water today. I should definitely treat myself. I've earned it. So yeah.
There's always 145. Like,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Speaking of 45, so we had talked, you know, like I said, it's been a while since we had you on. So we've actually, a lot's happened since then. I think the last time you and I spoke, or the last time we had you on the show, Ben Askren was still an undefeated boxer. So I think it's been a minute since that we've spoken. But in the meantime, right? Yeah. Thoughts and prayers for Ben Askren. Yeah. I miss you, dog. So you got to spend some time training with Norma Dumont, who's a every bit 145 pounder. Yeah. And
he's a little bigger than me.
Yeah, as I say, so you've said that you've spent some time over the last 17 months training with the best in the world. You know, I know that your team and your family is very important to you. It's one of the things that you're constantly promoting is your gym and the people you're working with. Over the last 17 months, you know, what do you think you've developed the most in? What do you think that you've really taken away from the high level talent that you're surrounding yourself with?
I think the most important thing, besides developing confidence and seeing how I fare up with these really good girls in the gym, I think the most important thing for me was, I'm so new to this. Like, before this fight, every single fight I was getting better at something different. So I was kind of trying to figure out who I was and where I belong. Well, am I a striker? Am I a wrestler? Am I a grappler? From the day that I walked in the gym, literally the day that I walked in the gym, Jake told me, you're going to be a wrestler. and that was cool. But then I knocked some people out, and that was fun too. So it was like, I was trying to figure out who I am. And in these past 17 months, we have literally laid out the blueprint of the type of fighter that I am, the way that I can have the longest career without a ton of injuries, you know, the path of least resistance for someone who's got this, the skill set that I have and the natural gifts that I have. And that's exactly what I did. I mean, that fight was literally exactly the blueprint that we've laid out for the rest of my career. And I don't mind people knowing that, because I really do believe that I'm going to get so good at it that I can tell them my game plan and then run it up their butts. Like,
right. Did you come out of the fight with Monica unscathed?
Yeah, I was good. My elbows were sore.
From her
but
face.
I was good.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it was from the cage. I don't think it was from actually elbowing her. I think it was from pushing against the cage and stuff.
Gotcha.
But so, no, I was good.
So with 271 sort of off the table, is what's the plan now? Like, is Invicta saying we want to get you right back? Are you still?
Yeah.
I mean, what's that look like?
So Invicta is an option. They have a fight. They have a card in March that's totally full. So I'm, you know, there's another card coming up for them. Contenders is this summer. I'm definitely eligible for that. that I didn't really ever want to go that route, because I feel like that show kind of tends to force fighters to fight fights that aren't their style of fighting, just because mm-hmm. they want to impress Dana and be exciting. And so that was kind of the reason that I didn't want to go that route. But at this point, beggars can't be choosers. So, and you know, I think I'm probably first up on the list of people for them to call if someone misses weight or gets sick. So I'm just trying to keep my weight low, keep, you know, stay in shape, stay ready, just in case. We've got a running list of the bantamweight girls who have fights coming up, and I'm just kind of keeping an eye on them, watching their Instagrams, being like, do they look chubby? Like, yeah. Trying to figure out, are they going to make weight? Do they look ill? Like, just kind of trying to, you know, see every week that there's a bantamweight fight, just stay ready, get ready to make a quick trip to Vegas or wherever they're having those cards. You know, that would be ideal, but Contenders is obviously an option. And then, you know, in 2020, they oversaturated all of their roster because of COVID. Right. So now they've got all these fighters who are just sitting on the side waiting for fights that they can't get. So it's, the UFC's in a weird spot right now too. You know, they're having to make cuts, that they're having to cut people off wins. They're having to cut people who haven't lost fights in 3 years. I mean, it's just, it's rough for everybody. It's a tough time to be a fighter.
Yeah.
So I'm just staying ready and trying to make sure that I keep getting better. So when I do get in there, it's a quick run to the top.
I know that you're not one for call outs, but is there somebody that when you look at that roster, you go, oh, you.
Really, the only ones on the roster that I'm like, are the ones that I'm like, they miss weight a lot right now, because that's my ticket in. So I'm like, So the ones who tend to miss weight are the ones that I'm really, really looking at. Or the foreigners, a lot of the foreigners, like, they're having visa issues. So I'm like, maybe they can't get over here. Like,
yeah. Gotta take the visa approach. I'll call my buddy at Customs. Let's try to line this up. We'll see what we can do. I got a couple guys that I know that still work at Customs. We'll see what we can do.
Right. Norma's got a fight scheduled with Macy Tyson. So I'm like, Norma, do you have a cough? Oh, yeah.
you might want to let her put that beating on Macy, because that is not one of Trey's favorites. We consistently go back and forth on the assessment of Macy, and Trey is firmly team. I don't want to say he's anti Macy, but he's definitely not a fan. Is that fair to say, Trey?
I'm team thick chick wrestler is what I am. And I think Norma Dumont fits that mold.
Dude,
and
she is so good. She really is. She's good at everything too. Like, yeah, that's what Jake just said. He said, it's hard to impress me, and she impressed me. Like,
yeah.
I haven't had a round. Like, I have to explain this to you. This is how crazy our sparring rounds were. So we're at Syndicate, and there's like, how many fighters do you think are on the mat? 50? Maybe 40, 50. There's a ton of fighters on the mat. Like, so many to where we're having to be very aware of where we are, so we're not like bumping into groups and knocking each other over and stuff. And me and Norma start fighting, and all of the coaches like come, and Mike Pyle looked at Jake and was like, is this okay? Like, we were like fighting. and it was cool. It was fun. It was like exactly what I'm going out there for. It was exactly what I needed. And we got done and we both just kind of hugged and laid on the ground because we were both so exhausted. But it was, you can tell that she doesn't have many girls that come into the gym like pumps to go with her. And as soon as she asked me, hey, because it's kind of etiquette. You don't go up to a UFC fighter and be like, yo, you want to spar with me? Like,
right.
It's kind of douchey. And so like when she asked me, I was like, yes, I do. I want to go with you.
Yeah.
And she kind of got excited and I could tell. And I knew she was going to lay it on me. I knew she was because I was probably 145 pounds and I was the next biggest girl in the gym. And so I was like, she doesn't get opportunity. And she was probably 170. I mean, she was much bigger than me.
Whoa, yeah.
And geez. I was like, she doesn't get opportunities like this with girls my size. And so I knew she was going to lay it on me and she did. It was fun.
See, Dale, it's those thick chicks, dude. That's the triple C right there. That's the real triple C.
170 pounds.
I don't know that. That is.
Not I know, but still. I mean,
but she had a good amount of weight on me, and it was solid weight. It's not like, oh, she's this like fat out of shape. It was she was in shape, and she was
110%, 165.
Yeah, he said she was 110%, 165 or heavier. There's no way. Like that girl, that poor girl, most 45ers, I look at them and I'm like, they can make 35. They're just lazy. I don't know if she can. Like it would be a big whole thing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. I wasn't
expecting.
It would
be a lifestyle change. It would be very hard. Yeah.
So 17 months away, we train all over the U.S., get in with some of the best people. We discover who we are as a fighter. We know that we want to stay active. Realistically, what does the rest of 2022 look like? Because you've gotten a great thing out of the way first thing in the, you know, yeah. first part of the year. So how, I mean, I know you talk about contenders series this summer and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, is it going to be one of those things where hell or high water, you're going to stay active? Or what do you want? What does a perfect 2022 look like for you?
A perfect 2022 is someone missing weight, me stepping in, fighting. I mean, hopefully it's not a top five because, I mean, you go in and you beat, I mean, you don't want to lose. So you go in and you beat someone who's top five. You're what, one or two fights away from at 135, you're probably next in line, you know, like
right.
the division is, I mean, the division is, there's not a lot of active fighters, which I don't understand why they can't, act, you know, whatever, you know, it's not my job to side myself. So, but yeah, so I mean the perfect would be someone missing weight in like March or April and then me going and fighting and hopefully they're not top five. And if they are, yeah, yep. Whatever. I'll be ready. Win and fight a couple more times. I would like to be super active, probably more active than my coach likes me to be. I would like to fight five times every single year and then retire in 3 years, you know, like that would be like really cool, but that's not what happens. And so, 2 to 3 more fights this year would be realistic probably. But we talked about, cause you know, Invicta's got that May card and I know they would have me back and they, I'm sure that they would let me fight for the title if that was something I was interested in, but I'm not interested in that because I don't want to feel obligated to keep fighting in Invicta. You know, I want to fight, you know, if it's going to be a long, we thought Contenders was going to be in like October. So originally sure. I was like, if I have to fight in Contenders, I am fighting again before that. But then when we found out it starts in July, I was like, you know what, what's fighting in May versus fighting in July? What is two more months? And if I were to go in May and get cut, you know, or have an injury that I couldn't fight in July, I would be kicking myself for like the rest of my life. So
sure.
If I can get on those first couple weeks in Contenders and then turn around and fight again, you know, before the end of the year, that would be cool. My 2022 goal, the main focus is to get into the UFC and then whatever happens after that.
Do you feel it's UFC or bust? Because I know Dez is in Bellator. Is it UFC or bust? Because, I mean, you open to the idea of Bellator?
No.
Nice.
Bellator doesn't have my weight class. And I'm not like crapping on Bellator, but that I'm not a Bellator fighter. I'm a UFC fighter.
There we go. All right.
And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a Bellator. Like there's nothing wrong with that. But from the time I started this sport, my dream and my goal has been the UFC. And I'm going to get there. And you know, the UFC, they don't have a lot of Bellator fighters. It's not like, oh, you go fight for Bellator for a little bit, then you get into the UFC. Like, it doesn't really usually work that way unless you're Mike Chandler. And I don't think I'm Mike Chandler.
So, not yet, anyway.
I hope I'm not. He gets hit a lot.
He does get hit a lot. Jeez, oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's not. Now, if they were to add 35 and you know, talked a lot of, you know, a good contract, you know, that's maybe one thing. But another option that I have in the back of my head, because there were rumors that PFL was going to start the bantamweight division. And it's not to me that PFL looks so inviting. It's that $1 million looks pretty inviting to me.
Of course.
And, yeah. And so that's the thing where you can go in and, you know, and again, it's easier fights for more money.
And sure.
So it's like, I could do that and then go to the UFC, but still, that's not what I want to do. But you don't always get to do what you want in this sport. So I'm going to get into the UFC. I don't think it'll be by way of Bellator. I don't think it'll be by way of PFL. But who knows?
I can dig it. So speaking of 135, the UFC's all shook up right now. What's your assessment on the Nunes Pena absolutely wildness? What was your? I know you uniquely pay more attention to that stuff than your average person. So when you see something like that, what's your assessment of that situation?
Give me a title shot.
That's what I was thinking. Like, man, like something about Amanda Nunes. She's just got this like mystical thing going on where she's terrifying, and it could have been anyone who took the belt from her, and we all would be thinking the same thing. All right, mm-hmm. I'm next, you know, I can do it. Like Juliana Pena is great. I love her style. I have a similar style as she does. I like to wrestle. I like to think I'm more excited, a little more exciting, you know, cause a little bit more damage. But that excited me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because now I'm looking at the whole roster and I'm like, well, maybe, you know, maybe I am ready for the top three, you know. And the style that I have, literally no one – I don't know a girl who fights like me. I really don't. I don't know a girl who is as confident in their ability to be physically imposing, who's not scared to take who's not scared to move forward the whole entire time and put you on the cage. Like, I don't care if people boo me. Winning is fun. And I haven't got booed yet, so that's good. I just think I have the style to neutralize really anybody. You know, maybe they're better striker than me. Maybe they're better on the ground than me. But there is not a girl in this sport who is better at cage work than I am. And I 100% believe that. Pat Miletic has been saying that about me since I was 0-1 as a pro. Like, I've got a really solid understanding of leverage in the cage and how to use it to my, to my benefit. And if that's how I beat somebody like Amanda Nunes, then I will hold her on the cage for 25 minutes. I don't care. Like, I want that UFC belt. So,
I was going to put all your Pat Miletic stories to the test a couple months back, just so you're aware.
Pat on the show?
No. So there was a brief moment in time where Pat was going to do commentary for a promotion in my area. And I ended up doing commentary with them, but he was supposed to, and then something happened where it didn't. But there was a brief moment in time where I thought I was going to get to do commentary work with Pat. And I was like, you know what, this guy's going to come in, and if he thinks for one second I'm not going to test every Haley Cowan story that she's told us, but anyway, it ended up not happening. It fell through. So, man. But one of these days, soon enough.
He's cool, man. He's been like, oh yeah, you know that Jake's brother fought him 3 times, right?
Ooh. What's
okay. Fought him 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Fought him for the UFC welterweight, the inaugural UFC welterweight belt, too.
Yeah, Jake's brother?
What? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Say about that.
But. That's all. Okay, we're not. That's
awesome.
That's great. That's great.
But yeah, pretty cool. So, like, we kind of, and I'm like I love Pat. I think he's the best commentator in MMA. He's so good. He really is good. And he's super underrated. Like,
right.
We just have a really, you know, I grew up in LFA. I started there as an amateur, and I just grew up around in the sport. I grew up around Pat, and he was really attracted to my gymnastics background and the way that I got into the sport, and we just really clicked. So I've got some good Pat stories.
So speaking of commentary, something's changed since the last time. I don't know if you know, if you saw it or not, but they're going to let, or not let, but Laura Sanko is going to be on the booth or like on the cans for, is it 271, Trey?
Do you know what? Was the last one, wasn't she? No, she's at the desk.
Yeah, they haven't let her do like the actual play-by-play or whatever.
I don't think it was a pay-per-view. I think it's a fight night.
Is it a fight night?
That's probably okay. The best way to start out. You don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think that's awesome, though.
I like her. You know, I like anyone who seems to work hard. I like them. And you can tell she works her butt off. So I'm a big fan.
I hope she does well. What made me think of that is because she's done some stuff for Invicta before. She's done other commentary work. And you talk about guys that are people rather that have done that do really well at commentary. And Pat Miletich is always one that I've always thought has done a fantastic job. And then Laura Sanko is always a sleeper there as well. And with guys like Rogan and DC constantly under the that they're constantly getting criticized lately. It's interesting to see the idea of perhaps some new blood coming.
They're just so biased. It's like hard to watch fights and like if I was just a regular fan who didn't know what was going on, it's just hard to. They're very biased, and it's really hard to like ignore it, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get me thinking like, did I miss something? Like, so I don't. Yeah, I like both of them though. I like their personalities, and I like them. And we're human beings. We're gonna be biased. It's can't really not be, but. It's your job not to be, so maybe figure it out.
Maybe figure it out just a little bit. Maybe just a little less biased.
Right. I'm sure they try. I'm sure they don't go in thinking, well, we're going to like really pump this guy up and make this guy seem like he's garbage, but whatever.
I'll say this, though, and it's something that Trey and I have a hard time with, and I'll put words in your mouth here, Trey. The more we talk to people and the more we like them, it's harder to stay like even keel when it comes to stuff. Like if you're guys like that, especially guys like DC that or that train with people day in and day out, I think it is kind of difficult to come in and not be overly critical or
chummy. So much harder on my teammates. Like when my teammates fight, it's like, and me too, like I'm harder myself too, but I'm watching them and I notice more. It's probably the gymnast in me. I notice more the mistakes and the things they did well. And then I go back and rewatch the fight. I'm like, oh, that looks good. Like,
right.
It's like, so, I mean, I that's got to be hard because you already know, you know, they do this a lot. They drop their lead hand when they throw this punch. They duck their head when they, you know, do this takedown. I mean, you already kind of know their tendencies. So it's going to be hard not to be overly critical. But
so that's a good question though, Haley. So when you rewatched your fight, did you look at it and say, wow, I actually did way better than I thought. I did exactly what I thought, or I underperformed based on what I actually rewatched.
It went just kind of how I thought it was going to go. I watching it, like I wish, and again, Jake's going to get on to me. I kind of wish I could have thrown a couple more punches, but we talked about, you know, throw what you need to throw to get inside and then get inside. And that's what I did. So I am perfectly happy with what I did. I really am. You know, even round one, like ideally I would have gotten her to the ground sooner, but I could tell how tired she was. And so I was just like, hang on her, you know, make her tired. Cause I knew that round two, it was going to be easy to get her to the ground. So I was kind of looking at Jake and he was telling me, you know, nope, do what you're doing. What you're doing is working. And the ref hadn't said anything yet. And so, you know, I'm happy with, if I had gotten her down to the ground, probably like 10 seconds earlier, I would have finished a head and arm choke. Cause I started to set it up, but there was only 10 seconds left. And Jake was yelling at me, you don't have time to start punching. And so there's little things like that, but nothing that I'm like, nothing like jumps out. You know, our goal for me this fight was to have seamless injuries, because a lot of times, you know, people strike to strike and then they wrestle to wrestle and then they do jujitsu to do jujitsu. But one thing that we take pride in at Blitz and that I've tried really hard to get better at is I strike to wrestle. I wrestle to strike. I wrestle to ground and pound. I set traps to ground and pound that, you know, that force them into certain positions for me to get the take, you know, for me to get the sub. You know, everything I do is with something, with the next part of MMA, the next sequence in mind. And so our goal was seamless, like a blend it seamlessly. And I got done and I asked him, I was like, were my entries good? And he was like, they were good. So when I went back and rewatched it, it didn't look like, oh, we're striking and then now we're wrestling. It looked like, oh, we're doing MMA. Like, right. You know, like it. And so I was really happy with that, because you don't see watch girl fights, there's not very many, if any, that do that. It looks like, oh, they're striking. Oh, now they're wrestling. Now they're doing jujitsu. You know, it's there's not a, the blend isn't there. And I think that that was probably the best thing I did this
that's,
fight.
That's the best, though. That's the best when you can rewatch it and think, man, I executed exactly how I wanted to. Dale, I've had a couple people film me surfing, and sometimes I'm watching it back and I'm like, holy shit, do I even know how to swim? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You well, become so self-critical. Yeah.
Yeah. Jake just said, you know, there's always something that could be better, but was the game plan executed the way that we planned? Yes, exactly.
Right.
I think he knew it was going to be round two for the finish. I wanted it to be round one just because I want another first round finish, because that's cool. But I'm glad, because again, every second in that cage, every competitive second counts. And so it was also good for me to get a couple extra minutes in there, you know.
Anytime I've ever watched film of myself competing, I've always just been like, oh gosh, no, like, totally. I can't believe somebody showed up for this. This is terrible.
Dude, I had him. There was actually a moment in the fight, and Jake yelled it. I don't know if y'all can hear him, but he yelled, put your chin down. Like, I threw an outside knee, and I like looked straight up. I don't know why I did that, but yeah. I did it. And so I look at back and I look at that moment. I'm like, why did you do that? Like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah. I've got a moment that.
But as soon as he said, put your chin down, I tucked my chin and stopped throwing leg strikes like that. So it was good. There was a lot of good things. There was a couple things, you know, I can always go back and fix, but I'm proud. That was exactly what we said. You know, that was exactly the plan. Like, exactly. So
that's awesome.
I've got a moment that lives rent free in my head that we've now that you've made me think about it yet again. So I used to play basketball, and I was watching. There was a moment in a game where I had a fantastic pass, and it was like I didn't exactly know how to celebrate. So it was like a very delayed response, and it was caught on video. And this playing in my head continues to this day. It's only been 20 years, but
you did double guns.
No,
did you double guns, dude.
I didn't do double guns. I went to do the chest smack, but yeah. I got like really excited with the chest smack and kind of grabbed my jersey, and then like my hand got caught in it. So like there's like this moment where I'm like, and it lives really in eternity cool. somewhere. But yeah, it just, you know, it looked really cool, and it's been in my head forever. So.
I was so glad when I went back and rewatched it that, like, after the fight, they play really loud music, and just all you can hear is the commentators. Thank God, because I'm pretty sure I yelled, "Who's your daddy?"
Yeah,
oh, sick.
Did I? I think I did. I yelled something that I was like, "Oh, don't say that."
No, don't do that. Bring it back. So, bring that one back. Yeah.
And I didn't hear it when I rewatched it, and I was like, and they didn't. I had the best walkout song ever, and they played their own. Like, and they played the walkout song while we're there, but on the live broadcast, it's like their own music.
Yeah.
It's not what we hear. And they didn't. I walked out to Brick House.
That's good. Sick.
It was awesome.
It's a good song.
No one knew. No one knew but me.
But you also walked out really fast, though. You had power steps. You got to the cage very quickly.
You were moving.
You were moving
How
very
could you not to that song?
But you cut the corner. Like, you didn't even walk down the ramp. You literally cut the corner and got to the cage. I'm like,
that was ready, man. It'd be too long. And it was cold in there. Oh, it was so cold in there. I was like, I gotta get in there and get out, or I'm gonna tear a hand.
So Haley, speaking of songs, this is a great segue before we let you go here. You're a 90s baby, correct?
92, yeah.
92? Okay. I'm gonna give you three chances here.
Oh no, don't do this.
That's a lot.
Three chances.
I'm gonna
say a lyric for each song, and you have to tell me if it is either Backstreet Boys or NSYNC.
Oh man, I can't even. Okay, I can try. I get so confused, and I was a big fan of both, and I still can't tell you the difference. But
okay, well, I'm not gonna sing it. I'm gonna literally read.
Can you do
it.
The dance moves?
I could absolutely do the dance moves, but I'm not gonna do the dance moves.
That will help.
Man, he sounds like Dominic Cruz.
Yeah,
I know.
He hates him.
Dude, not cool, Jake. Not cool.
Who's the one that does videos of themselves hitting?
Tony Jeffries?
No, one of these guys.
Oh, who hit? Who does one of y'all do videos of you hitting?
No.
What?
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, like hitting a heavy bag?
No.
Not a heavy bag. Jiu-jitsu stuff, but that's not. Okay, first one.
I had no idea this was going to happen. I'm going to mute myself.
Softball.
He's following someone that he thinks is both of you, and it's not.
You are my fire. My one desire. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys.
You're correct.
Fair enough.
Boom, roasted.
Okay, next one. Somebody's waiting for me, but I called my girl up and said, listen, baby, I'm sorry. I just want to tell you, don't worry. I will be late. Don't stay up and wait for me.
One of the worst lyrics I've ever heard in my life.
What song
Those
is
are
that?
Really bad. And I don't know that one.
Drew knows it.
Ah, you are incorrect. That is The Call.
Oh, The Call? Oh, I thought it was only Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. Whoa, another person.
That's Mr. Dober. What's with the mister? Look at this guy.
Last one, Haley.
It's really small.
Don't really want to make it tough. I just want to tell you that I've had enough. It might sound crazy, but it ain't no lie. Bye, 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 Haley. Thank you so much for coming.
So who was the second one? Could you sing it?
It was The Call by Backstreet Boys.
You're so going to play. That's your next walkout.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I know the lyrics for The Call, and I'm a big Backstreet Boys guy. I don't know if I know that one. All right.
Baby, don't worry.
Haley, as always, amazing. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you, and we'll see you. It's not going to be 17 months, right? So, like, we'll just wait and talk to you in May. You cool with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, sounds good. We'll talk to you later on. See you.
First comment to bring in Mr. Dober. The chat is wondering why he has a shirt on. I specifically said no shirt, Drew.
Well, you know, I don't play hard to get, so I'm not that easy.
Dude, how you been, man? What's going on? How is everything?
Good. Just enjoyed an off season. Just various exercises for stability outside of cage fighting. But I'm ready for some uncertainty, so we got a fight scheduled.
You're looking thin right now. What's going on with you? We doing a little mock weight cut, or what are we doing right now? Why do we look so thin? What's happening?
Oh, I just talked to my nutritionist, and we were working some stuff in the off season to make sure that making 55 was a little easier.
Okay. I got you. I see you got a little souvenir there. Who blessed you with that?
Oh yeah, I mean various teammates of Team Elevation. The place is a meat factory, so I'm surprised I'm leaving practice with this much damage.
Right. So how was Christmas? How was New Year's? It's been I think this is probably the longest we've gone without having you on. It's been probably like 2 months or so. What's new and exciting, man? How's everything been?
Life's been great, able to enjoy gluttony and wine and living that off season, some socializing, but man, I'm fed up with that, so I'm ready to simulate violence for the millions.
We got March 12th, Ricky Glenn. Let's talk about this matchup. How do we feel about it? Where do we think, I mean, obviously, we don't go too far into the game plan, but I mean, what's obviously go out there and inflict violence upon young Ricky, even though he's probably older than all of us. what are we feeling about this matchup, and what can we expect on March 12th?
Well, the dude is Midwest tough, and so you got to give it to those cats. I think he's like from Iowa, but I've seen him around, so I definitely know how tough, how durable he is, and he makes fights exciting. As far as strategy goes, I'm coming off a fight from, Islam Makhachev, arguably one of the best grapplers, and Brad Riddell, arguably one of the best strikers, and those are specialists. And Ricky Glenn, I think he's good everywhere. He's not excellent at any one, so the strategy is pretty simple. The dude's got two arms, two legs. He's looking to knock me out. If that doesn't work, he's going to try to put his forehead in my chest, and I'm going to make his life difficult.
Yeah. I can dig that.
I was gonna ask, this is kind of a hardcore question. I hate asking questions like this, but I'm gonna ask it anyways because the people want to know, Drew. So obviously the Makhachev fight and then the Riddell fight, you're on a two fight loss skid. But the thing is, you have fight of the night. So like in UFC standing, that's, I mean, optics wise, it's like you're implanted, like you're a threat in the division, but you're on a two fight loss skid. So is there any weird pressure? Like, hey, I can't lose another, but I can put on a great performance. Like, what does that balance look like?
I think anyone that doesn't have a number in front of their name, I'm completely fine with. Okay. I think I've showcased the fact that, you know, I can hang with Islam, I can hang with Brad, I can hang with Benil Dariush. You know, I want that Fazeev fight. So I'm very comfortable as far as where I'm at and what I'm capable of. Now, rising to the occasion, making sure I get the W's. Now, that's something we've been spending some quality time on in my offseason. It's just, you know, I'm able to hang, but I haven't overcame. So we're focusing on what I need to do. And, man, we're back to the proving grounds. So I'm going to put some people to sleep, get a number in front of my name, and I'm chasing that goal.
I love it. I love it. It was a very, Trey really went out on a limb with that. That was a tough question to ask. I can appreciate the gumption there. I was going to bring up the Riddell fight. Cause I don't think we've spoken since then, or did we speak directly after? I can't remember.
No, we did right after.
We did right after. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's stud, right. Dude, he came on right after.
Yeah, you literally came on right after. You're right. So now that we've had that time, it was fresher. Now that I remember, it was fresh right off the bat. And then my pick, I mean, I think a lot of people, maybe possible fight of the year contender. I mean, that was a back and forth war. You've obviously gone back and you've watched it several times since then. What adjustments are we making? I mean, I know that you're constantly in pursuit of perfection and getting better. What are we learning and how are we applying it? What's the fruit of the labor? Are we seeing it in the gym? What's going on? How are the dividends being paid?
Well, with the Brad Riddell fight, it was all mental. You know, I was kind of fighting like a dipshit, and you know, it was a narrow fight. So we had to look back, like, where was my mind at? You know, and preparations for the Nazareth fight, the Alexander fight. Now I was preparing for a war, like 15 minutes, like we're gonna work. The moment I signed the Brad Riddell fight, I knew I was going to knock him out. And so when it nearly came in that first round, it kind of cemented my mind in that first round. And he made the adjustments, which, I mean, shows his talent. But I didn't counter. I didn't, like, adjust with him. Like, I was so stuck in, like, knocking him out. And, like, I felt it in that first. And, like, it just, like, kept me there the entire fight. So... you know, I hook that to, you know, just overconfidence or over motivation. And so, you know, my best performances were underdog status. So I gotta start believing that, you know, I always have something to prove.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like that's a more calculated measure response than whenever we spoke to you right after, when you were like, hey, man, we were just in there swinging. It was a good time. I hope the fans enjoyed it. I like the, I like the more measured approach to it. So, we've got March. Are you full blown? Like, I mean, you said, talk about off season. When does camp start? Are we in camp right now? When do we start ramping things up?
I mean, I only have a set time to where camp starts. I hire my nutritionist for 8 weeks. My coaches say no excuses within the 6 week mark. But I'm always training, and you know, I'm always focusing on myself and what I need to do. So I think the camp has already started. Maybe it's as soon as I sign my name on that dotted line, then camp starts, and then we can focus on one man, one date. So camp's already started, and we're already working on that peak performance March 12th.
Gotcha. What's so
it seems like? It seems like your guys' camp, you've got a lot of things in the works right now. Obviously, Justin's kind of, you know, sit in the rafters trying to figure out what's going on. You got Neil Magny, got a fight with our boy Max Griffin coming up soon. You got your fight with Ricky Glenn. Like, Corey's, you know, figuring out his next steps. Like, as a team right now, what's going on at Team Elevation? Like, you know, are we all relatively trying to be in the same, you know, March camp, or is everyone kind of like on different levels? Like, what are we talking?
Oh, you know, I think we had to, revisit our performances, right? In 2020, we're like team of the year. 2021, right. we had Curtis Blades, Corey Sandhagen, and me, and so we weren't doing the greatest. And so the beautiful thing about Team Elevation is, we know not to do the same thing over and over expecting a different result. So we had to take some time and revisit and refocus. And man, we've been doing fighting meetings, coaches meetings, and making adjustments. And now I feel like the dust has settled and we're ready to go. And now people are picking up fights.
I love it. I want to switch speeds real quick because you came in and you put your thing, Mr. Dober. So
he's a married man.
I was going to say, so as a married man now, so what's your wife's assessment of being married to a professional fighter? Like now that she's going to the events with you, she's seeing the fights, like that we've got this whole thing. How's she feeling? Because I feel like this is a team effort both in the gym and at the house. So, my wife tries to support me and stuff, but if I were to ever want to be a fighter, I think I'd probably have to go live at Trey's house. So how's everything going on in that front?
I mean, it's exhausting for her. Like, I put in the work, but she's got to put up with my bullshit.
Right.
She's got her own things going on. And, I'm just so grateful that she's able to pick up some slack that, when I'm being lazy or being a nerd, she'll do the prep or the meals for me. She'll always, take care of it. So she makes my life easier. And, I hope to have her around for the weight cut because she makes that a little easier as well. But she's world star class. So, I'm super grateful.
What's the homeowner life looking like now? I mean, are we done for the time being? What project we got? What are we working on?
Oh yeah, I'm done for now. The living situation, the first floor is all completely done. I'm not touching anything until I get at least two fights in. I think my big account would enjoy that. And plus, man, I'm done putting things together. I'm here to tear things apart, which is Ricky Glenn.
Yeah. What's up with the hand? What do we got a war wound here?
So I'm meal prepping today, and I circumcised my finger. So writing is great for me. Culinary, I still need to work on some skills.
That's all right. You just be like me and be poor and have dull knives, and then you just got to hack into everything, man. You're good. You got those sharp knives. That's what it is.
This is true. I paid the money to get some great knives. The problem is the skills don't match the sharpness.
The wedding gift, right? Did you get it in the – was it part of the wedding registry? Good knife?
Yes. Set? So someone else got it for me. So thank you, whoever that was.
I think that was Trey at the wedding I wasn't invited to. So you probably
had a blast at the reception. It was super rad.
You should have seen him. He was hammered. I told him to, keep his pants on, but, it is what it is.
That was the first thing to come off. So, Drew, this is going to – another weird question. I want to throw the oddballs tonight, Dale.
Trey's been drinking already. I don't know if you've noticed that part or not. So
long work week. What is it? Tuesday?
Yeah.
So I recently adopted a new thing in my life called impetigo. Are you familiar with that?
Unfortunately.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, so – I want to ask because I feel like seldom do many people ask this. So outside of like staph and impetigo, like, are you getting any weird bacterial things just training so much that have like halted you from training or like impeded on your training regimen, like in prior fights or what's people talk about injuries all the time, but no one talks about the bacteria, dude. Nobody talks about
it. Trey's very upset by this.
I mean, I've gotten things like, obviously, when you roll around on mats and stuff like that, you're going to get things that, get in the way. But I work diligently on showering and hygiene. And post-pandemic, I feel like everyone should wash their hands and ass. So I do my best to keep the skin clean. But yeah, every once in a while, you get some shit.
Dale, I feel like that was a slight at me, but like
it definitely was a slight at you. You just asked the dude about bacterial infections. Yeah,
well, pretty sure dude, that's a real thing. That's something that's part of his line of work. Like you've got to deal with this stuff.
I understand you told it to me, and I consider myself a learned man. And as the first I had heard, I had to Google it, and it looks awful. I want no part of that. Dude.
Yeah. True story. The last time I had it was in high school wrestling, those dirty, dirty mats. And I had an Empentago mustache. So it could only be worse.
That's when you wish there was a pandemic so you could actually use your mask. You know what I mean?
And I was in high school. So the kids are the worst. And so,
nobody noticed. Man. Nobody noticed. Nobody noticed it, I'm sure.
I mean, people are probably going to chime in and say they remember because people don't forget.
No. People don't forget, dude.
People don't forget anything, and you better not make a mistake ever, or you'll never live it down. No, that's did you have the I'm sure you did, because every high school had them. Did you have the girl in high school that was constantly in a knee brace, or the dude that was in a knee brace for the entire time you were in high school?
I'm sure, if I'm going to be honest, I didn't pay too much attention to high school, so barely had the eyes open. So I'm sure there were people running around. I mean, high school is the worst, but yeah.
That's Trey's got me on a thing here. It was before you hopped in, we were talking about embarrassing things that live rent free. And one of those ones is we had a girl in my high school that was literally in a knee brace for the entire time we were in high school. And it's been 20 years and I still remember her name. I think if I saw her at a grocery store, I'd recognize her because she literally left that big of an impression in my life.
She won. Purposely, yeah.
All that to say is I'm sure nobody remembers that you're impetigo on your lip. I'm sure nobody remembers that at all.
I mean, with the long list of weird, ridiculous things that I did in high school, I'm pretty sure it is a blur.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Trey! You completely derailed me here with your bacterial infection.
I'll bring it back for a quick second. You. Okay. So wait, the March fight. Are we talking Apex or where are we talking right now?
I believe it's the Apex. Yeah.
So that's a unique difference. You fought on a massive card. Wife was there, all friends and family. I know you probably get a couple tickets for friends and family to come watch you at the Apex, but is there a preferential? No, Dale, I'm not trying to get us free tickets. Jeez, dude, calm yourself. No, I'm asking, do you have a preferential treatment? I mean, I'm sure you'd love to perform in front of, you know, thousands of people, but is there a benefit going to the Apex that you're actually excited about?
I mean, obviously, I'd prefer to be in front of an audience. And, you know, having more eyes on my fight. But I think the scenery is fitting to the occasion and the fact that, you know, I'm 0-2 and, you know, I'm back to the proving grounds. So I'm back to like minimal audience, smaller cage. You know, I feel like I'm back to like the local scene or like the low tier, you know, end of the UFC. And I think it's fitting and it's kind of exciting in that fashion.
Cool. That's a good way to look at it.
Do they give you an idea as far as the bout order is concerned? Like whenever you're signing a contract or anything like that, is that something that your management talks about? Like, hey, Drew doesn't fight on the prelims. We're a main card guy now. Or like, is there any thought process into that at all?
Insider information. The UFC gives us zero information. And I find a lot of stuff out on Twitter only after the fact.
Yeah.
So I get the who, when, and where, and how that's going to be put together. It's just a surprise every time.
As it stands right now, you're on the main card. If you care, you're on the main card. So
I didn't know there was a card put together. I couldn't even tell you the main event, to be honest.
Are you serious? It's a banger. Oh,
is
man.
It? Who is it?
Thiago Santos versus Magomed Ankalaev.
Oh, really? I'm on that one?
You're right. On that one, yeah. Breaking news. Drew, you're going to have a fight, and it's going to be in March, and there's going to be other people there, too. No, yeah, so, I mean, it's a banger of a card. I mean, you're on tap for violence. They've got you tapped with a bunch of killers on the main card. I'll run through it real quick for you. Thiago Santos, Magomed Ankalaev is the main event. Co-main is Marlon Moraes and Song Yadong, and then you've got Bruno Silva and Alex Pereira, who people are trying to push because he's the last person to knock out Izzy. Alex Caceres and Sadiq Youssef, and then you and Ricky Glenn rounding out the main card.
All right. That's going to be
– that's violent.
I hope I'm earlier in the night so I can sit back in with some popcorn.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's exciting. I'm glad we can figure this out together.
I got nervous when you got – utmost confidence that you're going to just absolutely freaking level, Ricky Glenn. But I got nervous at the beginning because Ricky Glenn, and you know, our listeners know this very well, I'm a huge fan of Team Alpha Male, and Ricky Glenn was on Team Alpha Male for a couple years, but he switched camps as of recently to Pura Vida. I've never heard of that camp. Are you familiar with that camp, Drew?
I've seen the logo, but I couldn't tell you. I mean, I've heard of it. I couldn't give you any facts.
Okay. What are you talking about? You know that, not you, Drew, but Trey, Kate, who's been on our show, works at Pura Vida.
Oh, no way.
That's where you know that.
So okay. You put this up on the fact that you're going to be my insider for strategy. So I need you to bring some film.
Yeah, we'll do what we can for you.
I mean, we'll do film study. That's fine.
I mean, the guy's got, 40 professional fights, but we'll be the X factor here. Don't worry. We've got you. We've got everything under control here.
I have high expectations of you guys. That's the only reason I show up.
Truthfully, we are highly sought after for our fight intel and intellect. So, I mean, anytime you want us to tell you how to win a fight, so all you got to do is just let us know. We'll happily tell any of these guys what to do, or girls. That's what
I have to do it from my couch, though, Dale. I refuse to do it anywhere else.
Yeah, well, I got to do it on my couch.
You're not going to the Apex. Done. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, wait.
I'll be there. I will be there. Yeah. So, I mean, I honestly think that the Apex would be a fun environment to actually go and watch a fight, just based on the fact that I project really well, and I don't feel like anybody in the crowd is loud enough there. So, it would make me. I would just be tickled pink to be able to just give them a, give them hell, Jober, as loud as I can in there, because I guarantee it goes into the broadcast. There's no way that it doesn't. I'm too loud for it to not happen.
I mean, there's nothing going on in there. So I'd hear it plain as day, and I'd give you a point and a wink.
Yeah.
It's like, got it.
That's it. That's well. Now
we're working on it.
Trey, March 12th, we're gonna go ahead and we'll go ahead and see what we can do here. We gotta make this happen.
I'm there, dude. Every time I go to Vegas, I was just there last week. I try and find the Apex. It's like Club 33 at Disneyland, dude. It is hidden. I'm telling you, you can't find that thing. So, I don't know. One day, Dale, we'll get there. We'll get there. Drew, another question for you as it relates to your team here. TJ Dillashaw recently came out and said that he wants to take the winner, or he's deserving of the winner of Aljo Yan. Now, given how competitive Sandhagen was in his last fight, do you think that's justified? What do you think Corey wants to do? Like, what's going on?
I think statistically that makes sense. He is a former title holder and he has a win over TJ. Or went over Corey. Statistically, it makes sense. I think Corey now is doing the same thing I'm doing, which is just figuring out, why we dropped decisions, or, why we didn't, rise above.
Yeah.
And so, I think Corey should have a warm-up fight, a good, flying knee finish, something to kind of raise his stock back up and get him excited. The dude's young, so it's like, we don't need a rush to the title. Have TJ do it, do whatever he wants, with that fight. But, Corey's in for the long game, and he's only getting better. So.
Now, did you think that TJ won that fight? I that was one of the ones where I thought, I felt like I was on the wrong side of it, because I'm watching it. I'm going, Sandhagen won that fight. But like the commentary was like, TJ put on a masterclass. Twitter was like, TJ, TJ, TJ. And in my brain, I'm going, do I know what I just watched? Because I'm watching this feeling like Sandhagen won this fight pretty clearly. And everybody's acting as if this was not competitive. And I'm very I'm confused.
Yeah.
So what's your assessment?
I was at a sports bar where they didn't have the audio on.
Mm.
And so I was just watching the fight. I couldn't hear the commentators. And so the fight was finished and they were all coming to the center. I was like, yeah. And I was BSing with the people at my table and talking, stuff like that. Corey's got it. Like, that was the symbol, we good. And then the corner of my eye, I saw TJ's hand get raised. And I was like, wait, excuse me? Mm. And I had no idea how. And I had to rewatch the fight. And then I heard the commentators. I'm like, I guess. But no, I'm a firm believer that Corey won that fight.
Yeah. And then it was like verdict. If you follow verdict at all, they do the global scorecard and all that stuff. And they released it. And I believe TJ was even pretty considerably even on that. I'm just thinking in my head, maybe I don't know what I'm watching anymore. Like fights like that are head scratchers to me.
Yeah. I mean, so Corey and I, we had the conversation, and Corey and I were old school in the thought of like, hey, we go to a fight to fight, right? Like it's kill or be killed. And yeah. So my goal is to kill you and kill you as fast as possible. We ain't playing the point games. We're not trying to win rounds. Like right. We're trying to make sure you leave on a stretcher, period. Mm. And when you play by that, then how did Corey lose? He looked like I'm sure could have fought again, you know, like that yeah. night. But that's not it's three guys' opinions that are sitting outside the cage. Sure. And so now we got to play the game of like, man, well, you know, what are they into? You know, it's like a blind date. Just right. Figuring out like, how do I win these rounds? Am I head on the scorecards? If I slap them in the chest a couple times, will I win this round?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, so because I think you and I have talked about this before. We've asked you on the show before. Would something like that, would a result like that, or that thought process, would that lead you to believe that open scoring is something that you'd be interested in? Like, if you could know at the end of the round how it was scored, would that you find that beneficial, or do you think it'd be distracting?
No, I think it'd be distracting. Okay. I think you would see more fighters kind of taking it easy if they know they won. And then the thing is like in training, we program our autopilot. So when we are in the cage, whether we're winning rounds or losing rounds, I mean, the hay's already in the barn. Like we already trained for this fight and this is what we're doing. It's going to be really hard to change your game plan in the third round when you like look up and see like, oh, I'm losing these rounds. What do I do differently? It's like, well, you didn't plan on, you know, wrestling this fight and now you're going to try to do it all of a sudden. I mean, prime example is me fighting Islam Makhachev. I'm well aware that I lost the first few rounds. I had right. to go into the third with something different. And me chasing submissions didn't work out for me. So right. it's like the open scorecards, I don't think it's as bad as boxing as far as the politics goes. Mm. And I don't think there's much adjustments you can make, you know, knowing whether you're down or up. I think you should enter every round with the intention of winning.
Have you met the judges? Like, you know, it's always the same ones, like the Sal D'Amato and the Derek Clearys and stuff like that. Have you met them, like shook their hands?
Nope. I couldn't even tell you.
I feel like they're not real people, Dale. Like if I was Drew, I'd be going and buying them, you know, Starbucks cards, just like, hey, dude, like we're chill, you know, it's all good. But I swear I've never seen a photo of these guys. I don't believe they're real. They clearly don't know how to score.
Well, I don't want to open up myself and associate somebody with
no
half truth here. But if I'm not mistaken, the Lavelle brothers, Jared and Jaron, one of them just got in trouble with the law because he's not only a judge but was a referee, and then he was like some sort of town official, and it was something dubious happened where. There was money being made that should not have been made in an official capacity. But I can't remember it all, so I don't want to do speculation. Shit, that's how people get in their feelings and lawyers get called. I don't want that. But
we don't want anything dubious.
I don't want anything dubious. Yeah, but I'll say this because what you said stuck out to me, Drew, is that MMA as a whole, though, as a sport, it hasn't been around the length of time that boxing has. So I think there is something to be said though, that these judges, these officials need to be held to some sort of higher standard. Wouldn't you think? Because I mean, the skill set and what you're seeing in the cage and what's unfolding in front of you, it's different than what's happening in boxing. I mean, our great grandfathers were watching it, boxing, and going, you know, that guy won or that guy, that's not the case here. This is a relatively young sport. And we've got primarily like Sal D'Amato, who's a boxing judge, judging MMA, and I'm sure there was some hay in the barn that was done to make it, but he's probably not as qualified to talk about MMA as he is boxing, let alone score it. So there's got to be something that's done. I mean, are we the brain trust here? Drew, you're an intelligent guy. What do we do here? How do we fix this?
I think just with time, it's going to fix itself. You know, when the sport's brand new, who are the qualified judges? Right. Boxing, wrestling, like, you know, you just have to find them. And then now those judges are gaining the experience and they're like, oh, this judge has X amount of experience. Right. But now, since the sport is now kind of growing and having some longevity, now those judges are going to be replaced with more educated judges. And so I think it's going to fix this up. I don't think MMA is as simple as boxing. So there's less that you can, alter. You know, like Islam Makhachev definitely won those rounds, right? Like, there's no doubt about it. There's no way you can swing that.
Right.
And so having, like, a judge that likes me better, there's no way he's going to have me up on those scorecards, right? It's the close fights, right? But, you know, I'm notorious for it, too. Like, I'll see my teammates in the cage and go, yeah, he won that fight. And then I'll rewatch it. Like, yeah, I guess not. So
yeah.
I think it's just one of those things, where, like, this stuff kind of happens. I think MMA sport. It's constantly growing. Fighter pay is going up. Judges getting better. So, like, it's only going to get better. I think right now it's just a unique time of transition. As far as, like, fellow fighters go, I think the only judges you got to worry about, the ones sitting in the stands. Because at the end of the day, we're all entertainers. And unlike boxing, where you get like one mark on your record and you lose your career. I mean, we got guys like Jorge Masvidal, which I'm tuning in when he fights, regardless how many losses he has.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, who pays my bills, gives me the paycheck, are the guys sitting in the audience. And those are the only judges I care about.
Fair enough. Well, you talk about a sport. The Winter Olympics are getting ready to start. Are you an Olympics guy? Should MMA be in the Olympics? How do you feel about the Olympics? Let's tell me all your Olympic opinions.
I think, like, individualized sports are incredible, and all those guys are super talented, and they should get more compensation from the United States, for doing all that stuff. As far as MMA in the Olympics, absolutely not. MMA is an entertainment sport.
Ooh.
It's why Olympic boxing and professional boxing are nowhere near close to each other. It's MMA is for entertainment. I like that Muay Thai is in the Olympics. I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu should be. But like, let's look at like specialized disciplines. Mixed martial arts is too chaotic and far more eventful to be in the Olympics.
That's a good point. That it should be more, more specialized. I like that. That's the most measured response I think I've heard somebody say about MMA in the Olympics. I appreciate that.
I'm flabbergasted, Dale.
Yeah, I told you, man. Big brain energy here. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot.
All right. So, are you a Summer Olympics or a Winter Olympics guy?
Summer. I'll be honest. I can't stand the winter on my own. I don't want to see other people enjoying it.
Okay,
it's hard to wear a parka with no shirt.
That's true. That's true.
Exactly. Natural cryotherapy.
So if we're in the Olympics, what sport are we, like? I mean, obviously, within reason, suspend reality here. If you were going to be an Olympic level athlete, what would you want to compete in?
Figure skating.
Really?
No.
Oh, Michael Michaels.
I can't skate, but I'll definitely try to dance.
All right.
Fair.
Well, I mean, I think figure skating's fair though, because they're like, it's one, it's individual. And I remember, who was the guy that used to do the backflips? Wasn't there like a balding guy that did backflips?
Oh, yeah.
He was like king shit for a long time, Michael something or other. So you're out there by yourself and it's a high profile event. That makes sense. I could get on board with that. I wasn't going to dog you for saying.
True story. Like, rollerblading was my thing growing up. So I don't think I'm that far off. Dancing and rollerblading, I feel like you can come together and just be a sport for me.
So, like, are you – wait a second here. Wait a second. So when we say rollerblading, are we talking about, like, X Games rollerblading where, like, you're sliding down rails? Or are we talking about, like, you're out there doing, like
the, Friday night.
The butterfly in, skate like, parties.
In a circle with music.
Oh, yeah.
That was my jam.
Man, I didn't like guys. I'll like
do
you.
Private parties if you're interested.
Dude, I didn't. Gosh, I hated that.
I feel
that.
Like Drew and I were best friends growing up.
Drew, you're a big skate party guy?
Oh, dude. Do you ever see that Disney movie? Blade Life, I think it was called, or whatever it was, dude. Team Pup and Sud? No? Team X Blades? Drew knows what I'm talking about. That was my life, dude.
Drew, you know what he's talking about?
I unfortunately do. Yeah, I actually do.
That was real life, dude.
What is this movie called?
Dude, it's, I don't know. It was Team Puppin' Suds, man, and Team X-Blades. It was hardcore, dude. You're
okay.
Much
yeah.
too old, Dale.
I apparently so, man. I had no idea what any of this is. I can't skate to save my life. So that was, I hated skate parties. I was the guy that was too cool to skate. I just kind of hung out by the arcade and didn't do anything. Just, you know, I was too cool for it. I was basically too cool for it. You guys obviously had a lot more fun. But it's okay. We won't think about that at all. Jeez, oh man. I had no idea. I had no idea we were rollerblading it up. So, all right. Realistically, though, so Olympic sport, what would you do?
Summer Olympics?
Yeah. We'll go somewhere. Yeah, they're your favorite. So if you could be like king, you know, kingship representing the USA.
Like if I could invent like abilities, or is it one like as close to what I have already? Because I can't run, jump, or catch a ball.
Yeah.
So, options of the Summer Olympics fairly limited, I think. Right. Like maybe swinging around that giant ball and throwing it.
What's that called, Trey?
That's not curling, is it?
No, curling's in the Winter Olympic where they slide the rocks.
What is the hammer swing?
Is it the hammer throw? I think it's a hammer throw. I think you're right. I think it is a hammer. Yeah.
I got a low center of gravity. I don't know if you've seen my legs.
Yeah.
So like I could probably wing that thing.
Probably.
I gotta work on the spinning. So
those things are sweet. That's like a medieval weapon. Hammer throw. Yeah. The chat says hammer throw. That's a good
one. It doesn't hammer throw. Thank you, Tim Horton.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
It doesn't surpass the javelin throw badass, but it's a close second.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the point where I want producer Jake to pull up the video where the guy gets stuck with the javelin. Did you ever see
that? I was just thinking of the same video. Just because we all kind of wanted to happen. And so that video just satisfied everyone. Just like, yes, that's what I thought would be happen.
Yeah. And you know what's great too is that guy has probably been warned like 15 times, like, dude, you can't sit there. And Steve's just sitting out there and they're probably all going, dumbass Steve's going to get hit by a javelin one day. And he just thinks nobody's going to hit him. And some Finnish guy went out there and just speared him from 100 yards out, which was just amazing. Trey, have you seen this video?
No, dude, I'm going to search it right after this.
Yeah. No, you have to.
He gets stuck.
Horrifyingly satisfying.
Dale, post it to our Instagram.
I got it. I will find it. We will post it. Don't worry.
So 2022, we got a fight in March. How many times do you want to fight this year? What's the ultimate goal when you close four times? What do you want to do when you close 2022? Like what's the thing? Do you want to take late notice fights that are, you know, high in the rankings? Do you want to gradually get yourself back up? Like what's the plan for 2022?
To not care about the rankings or the title. Like I want to fight more often. Okay. And so, man, I don't have a game plan. I have a checklist and I'm looking at Ricky Glenn, you know, Bobby Green, that Patty the Batty, like, and they don't need to have a number in front of their name. I want exciting fights and I want more of them. I'm 33. I don't know when I'm going to, you know, call it quits, but I want to empty the tank. And, you know, Donnie Cerrone wants to throw down, like, so, like, the whole political, you know, talking and all that stuff to get up into the top five, like, I don't care. I literally lost interest now. And it was cool, but Fazeev's exciting. He's ranked. We'll do that one, but I could care less about the rankings. I just want fights more often.
I love that you said Patty Pimblett. It's the weirdest. So Trey sent me a text and he's like, hey, Drew's gonna come on the show on Tuesday, and I was like, yes, perfect, awesome. And then for whatever reason in my head I was like, man, I'd love to see him fight Patty Pimblett. And I was like, wait, how big is Patty Pimblett? What's he weigh? And then you just set him right here, which makes me super happy. He's 155.
I think used the fight at 45, moved up to 55.
Do they show him in the off season? He gets thick.
I saw really that thing roll through a post fight party. It was incredible.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm like, I remember I thought that in my head, and I'm like, nah, he's gotta be 170. That guy's that there's no that's a big adjustment. That's a, I mean, do you think that's lack of discipline? What is that? I mean, that's a lot of weight.
I think it's just young age. I think, you catch old school photos of me, like I got big between fights and when I was like early 20s.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I feel like it's the same thing with the whole, you know, drinking at 21. Like you can't have it for the first part of your life. So now in your entire 20s, you're just doing all of it. So like now he's like, he has to diet to make 55 or 45 or whatever. And so now he just goes nuts. And man, Liverpool has some good fish and chips. And so I can't blame him, but it's intense.
Yeah.
That drinking analogy still applies to me at 33, Drew, but okay.
I was going to say, Trey, did you take note of when he said you were supposed to be drinking as heavy as you are?
Were we supposed to stop? Hey, with Patty, though, do you think he actually likes his haircut or that's just all like part of a stick?
As a guy with a great haircut, does it pitch you off to see that?
Oh my God. Like I said, young age.
Yeah,
young age, right? I can post some photos of me with the same haircut. So I feel like I'm looking at me in the past. And that's why I want to beat him up, just because it's just satisfying for me personally.
Get some pomade, dude. Bam.
I just get to punch all my bad decisions in the mouth right now. Like, that's what I want to do.
I like that. I like that a lot. It'd be like fighting yourself in a dream. That's really good. Oh, well, I hope the fight comes to fruition. They just booked him against who did they book him up against? They booked him up against
it was exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
They booked him up against
somebody. Yeah.
So. And so they're gonna give him a couple wins and Sean O'Malley that guy. And it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's
they will not let me fight him.
Yeah. I like the hostility. There's some anger there. I appreciate that. all right. Well, as always, Drew, you've been amazing with your time. Thank you so much for coming on, man. March 12th. Can we continue this where we just talk to you after the fight? Do you want to just come, you know, can we just.
Oh, yeah. You can get me with all balls of like emotion and then I have to have a follow up to correct what I said. So hey, I'm all about it.
Honestly, you can bow out whenever you want. I mean, but it's we love having you on, man. I really just it's not a shtick. We really whenever you want to come on, I'm telling you.
I love being on, and I think my close friends and family love you guys. And to be completely honest, I just told Hollis, my wife, I was like, yeah, I got this interview at 8:15. She was like, punch list. I'm like. Yes, this is cute. Yes.
All right.
So you guys got the
wife's
thumbs up. So.
Oh, yeah, that's say no more.
Just pulled that right out of her back pocket, just like punchless MMA. I'm like, yeah,
right. Yeah. There you go. Clip that, Dale. Clip that.
We're pretty much done here. This was great, everybody. Thanks for showing up. We're pretty much at peak. We're done here. It took 2 years, but we've peaked. We're done. Well, go ahead and let her know that we're anticipating our next shipment of shirts, and we'll be sending some stuff out to you guys. So
she loves all of them.
Honestly, I got really excited for a split second when you first popped on the camera, because the one that we sent you that I think was confiscated is the color of the shirt that you're wearing now. Mm-hmm. And I got really excited. I was like, holy shit, not only that, he's wearing our shirt, but you're not. And that's fine, because I know she took it, but I got really excited for a split second there. So.
Well, you haven't sent me pants, and so thank God this interview is waist up.
Yeah.
So, still waiting.
Well, we're humble enough with you coming on. We're not wearing a shirt half the time. You start doing pantsless, and we're going to have to shut the whole thing down. So
ignorance is bliss. You had no idea if I am.
Fair enough. All right, buddy. It's been great talking to you. We'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks, man.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Drew.
Talk to you soon. We'll see you, buddy.
Pleasure, guys.
Name a better person, Trey Van Buskirk. I'm telling you.
I can't do it. I can't do it, dude. I listen to him speak, and I think, Trey, you're the same age as Drew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get it together.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? But you know what, though? In a different way, you are winning still. You're still winning.
I'm doing great, but I mean, I like to, wear stretchy jeans and no shirt all the time and – live my life. Yeah, absolutely.
What's the nonsensical cliche motivational thing? you can't be upset with the results you didn't achieve from the work you didn't do.
Right. That's a big proponent of this whole thing is I have not tried.
Right. 100%. If you, listen, looking at you again, because we've never met in person, looking at you, you're a wiry dude. I can tell you're wiry. You probably have pointy elbows. Your hands are probably real knuckly. You got like real, you got probably rounded knuckles. Is that all this true? Do you have rounded elbows?
You know, I have so much hair on my arms. Haven't seen my elbows, and my hands are like Chinese silk ribbon, Dale. They have not done a day of yard work in their entire lives.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your knuckles. I don't have knuckly fingers, right? Like I've got long.
You don't have knuckly fingers. It looks like there's 19 knuckles in that one finger.
Because they've been broken a lot. So, but my point is, my hands.
Do you have just, six fingers?
Yes, my hands are a nightmare. Certain guys have like they look like poison dart frogs. They've got those little. You're talking about like the round, finger pads. Yeah. So
I don't look like that.
Yeah, yours don't look like that. I thought maybe they did. Anyway, all that to say this, you're of low body fat percentage. If you really buckled down and stopped drinking and really went after it, I bet you'd fucking chisel up in no time, dude.
Just close my eyes. Dad?
Yeah.
I just felt like I had a conversation with my dad right there.
Remember what we talked about last week? If you would just apply yourself, right? If you just apply yourself. Speak real quick, just to give him a shout out, because I saw them in the chat earlier. Have you seen James from Strictly MMA?
Yeah.
He's as big as a house. Have you seen that guy?
The whole Strictly MMA team is jacked beyond belief right now.
Dude, he's huge.
You know what's bullshit, dude? You did a Instagram live stream for the last show because we did not have an episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people were saying that I got popped for EPO.
That's true. Yeah, people were worried. I'm going to be honest with you. Us skipping a week really set the waves out. People were nervous that like, why are they missing? What's going on? You know, what's the deal? And I genuinely think people that like listen to us in a more passing fashion legitimately thought something was going on, like where you and I weren't doing a show together or whatever the case may be. But I assure you that was not the case. Trey got called last minute to do something for work and I was sick, and it was a perfect storm. Which is why we still try to do the live stream. And then doing the live stream, things became difficult because of our time difference. And it takes a lot of coordination for us to lock in our Tuesday nights for this hour and a half. So on a random Friday, it's tough. So, but everything is fine.
Well, we have a little bit of house cleaning to do real quick. Guys, if in fact you did pre-order the Punchless Allegiance collab shirt, The Hedge, confirmation that it is printing and shipping out this week. So apologies if you've been waiting, what's been going on. Roy from Allegiance just had a baby, so congrats to him. Stoked. But obviously that takes precedence over everything. So everyone could just chill the fuck out. Your shirt's coming. Relax. Outside of that, guys, if you want to buy anything from Allegiance Clothing, the greatest clother on the planet, just go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH. You're going to get 15% off. And then finally, guys, our other sponsor, Stay Classy Meats. Go there, get the best meat, put it best in your body. Try and get slimmed down to the Drew Dober type size. Prepare yourself for that March 12th fight. And the best way to do that is put the best meat in your body. Go to stayclassymeats.com, type in the code FIST, and that's going to get you 10% off.
Speaking of Dobes, he looked cut up already, didn't he?
I know, dude. He looked sunken in a little bit.
He looked thin.
Good. Well, he looked good.
Like weight cut should be, he should not have to move very much to make 155, because he normally has, you know, you get the cheekbone and the jaw and the thing, but he was like already like right there, and we're still 6 weeks out.
Yeah. There's preparedness, dude. That's eye of the tiger status.
Yeah. I think he's coming out. You know, what's crazy is that you know this because we've been doing the show for a couple of years now. I like betting on Rick Glenn.
Me too.
And I think this is a good matchup for Drew. And I'm not just blowing smoke because he's on the show. I think it's a good matchup for him because Rick's going to be there for him to fight. It's just a matter of Drew going to knock him out beforehand? I'm hoping that coming off a knockout over Joaquin Silva, he wants to stand there and throw hands.
Inside the distance play seems mighty juicy.
I like an inside the distance there, yeah. That's a good one. I like that a lot. Let's see here. Let's see. He says, we've never met in person. Yes, that's true. It's a real thing. All right. We're at an hour and a half. I know you got to go because, you know, it's family time there, but it's 11 o'clock here for me. So I'm doing the late night life. Do you have anything you want to leave the people with before we go? No fights this week, but that's okay. Fights next weekend. What is there anything at all you got going on?
Only thing I'm going to say, guys, is it's a new year. It's a new time for us to even expand even further than the, you know, I don't know how many countries we're in.
It was a lot. We'll have to go back and count them.
We're a stupid amount of countries, but doesn't mean that we don't need help still, guys. Go to Apple, give us 5 stars. Spotify gives reviews now too. Give us a 5-star there. Type in some things for your boy, dude. Hey, when we make it big, we're bringing everyone with us. It's not going to be like selective tickets to the Apex. We're bringing the whole fucking crew.
We've already talked about this before. So, we will bring this up whenever we get to a point where we can scale this accordingly. The idea has always been, a punchless meetup in Vegas. That has always been the thing. I know you got to go, but I'm going to say it real quick. The genesis of the name Punchless stemmed from an idea that you had, that you and I were working on before we even made this podcast, where the idea of the Punchless was going to be almost like a fight kit that you could order every month, where it would show up with all kinds of cool stuff that you need, like whiskey glasses and recipes or snacks, all kinds of like that, designed to make fight night cooler. And it was like, oh, check it off, you know, check off the punch list so that way I can watch fights for this weekend. So the idea, the genesis of the name Punch List has always been this idea of bringing people together. So like you said, whenever we get to the point where we can scale it accordingly, there will be eventish style things that happen. And one of my highlights of 2021, one of my absolute highlights of 2021 was when we had both of those guys at the same UFC event that listened to our show.
Oh yeah.
And we're able to get in contact with each other. I can't tell you, and I didn't give it, it's just due at the time. I can't tell you how happy in my heart that made me.
Yeah, that was wild.
Like, that was awesome that there was people with it's just opposite ends of the world spectrum, don't know each other, punchless familia together at the where were they? Was that T-Mobile? Were they at T-Mobile for that? I forget where it was. But
make a bunch of money and we'll blow it all on a party for everyone. That's the life I want to live.
Yeah, I mean, I think the trial run might be Faber versus Cub. So I'm telling you right now, there is you need to, if Cub and Faber fight each other, we're going. Like, so we're going.
That's for sure. I don't really want to see a grown man cry. It would really bum me out.
Well, they will be tears of joy, so don't worry about it. But yeah, I mean, that's the, honestly, like when you talk about trying to get tickets to the Apex, if Cub and Faber are going to fight, we have got to pull every string of every person that we know within the UFC roster to try to get on that list for the Apex. Oh. We have to.
Oh yeah. Every punch list alum, Max Griffin, Drew Dober, Carlos Condit, Josh Emmett. You don't think text messages are going to those people?
Everybody. I'm literally everybody. I will text Anik and be like, yeah, bro, Anik, I need. I'm never gonna ask you for anything, but remember all those steaks we sent you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember those sweet Allegiance duds you were wearing? Yeah.
Remember those?
Remember the custom shirt you got? I'm cashing in. Yeah. Cashing that favor, bro. I need ticks. I at least need a discount. At least put me on the list so I can purchase them. I don't want them getting sold out.
So funny, these people think there's no strings attached.
There's always strings attached. Always. I may not pull on it right away, but at some point, I'm pulling on that string.
I'm going to yank it.
Them ribeyes ain't free, bro. They may taste free, but them Montana ribeyes ain't free. All right. Guys, if you don't already do so, please follow us everywhere at Punchless MMA. Shout out to Haley Cowan. Congratulations on your win, Invicta 45, 46, whoever it was over Monica Franco. Can't wait to see what you continue to do as you ascend into superstardom, most definitely, because she's got the talent, she's got the skill, she's got the look, and she's well-spoken. It's just a matter of time, man. It's just a matter of time. And then, as always, the one and only Drew Dober. No, don't bang bang. The one and only Drew Dober. Appreciate you, Drew. Thanks for coming on. Guys, we'll talk to you this weekend. And then next weekend, or next Tuesday, we'll be back. Hermanson versus Strickland. We'll be breaking that down for you next week as the march to 70% continues for the year. Appreciate everybody. Love you. Be good to each other. Now, bang bang.
Matt's screwed.